Blog Talk Radio.
Bonjour, mes amis, ça va bien? I hope we're all ça va bien-ing tonight. Darlings, it's Mummy, Sybil Brunchen, and it is January 20th. We're, oh, darlings, what can I say? Well, listen, first of all, let me put one foot in front of the other, because inch by inch, life's a cinch, yard by yard, life is hard. So I shall start off the way I always do by saying, welcome to Come Now, Don't Sulk. This is our live podcast coming to you from high atop the Chrysler Building in the heart of Manhattan. Yes, Mummy is home again. I'm not broadcasting to you from Aberdeen, South Dakota, or Buttonpoke, Idaho, or whatever. I'm actually back in New York. We're in the Chrysler Building. We're in the revolving ballroom, can you imagine, of the Cafe Berlin, high atop the Chrysler Building. That's the wonderful pointy building. It's so exciting. It looks like a tiara or a headpiece from a Greta Garbo film. And I'm here with the entire restaurant full of people and diners. It's sort of like that wonderful Cub Room scene in All About Eve, with everyone in evening gowns with hats on and the cigarette holders and everything. And I'm here with my wonderful producer and muse, my inspiration, if you will. She's Mademoiselle. Mademoiselle Inspiration. Let's all say that together at home. Mademoiselle Inspiration. French is our friend, darling. How could I do this show without my producer and my muse, Gwendolyn Holdenberry? Gwendolyn, how are you tonight?
I'm good. I'm getting a little cold down, you know, but I chill. But other than that, it's just, you know, I have popcorn for the news hour, and things are going well that way.
But you're fighting off your cold?
I've got an afghan wrapped around my shoulders, you know, with the zigzags.
Well, I just want to tell everyone that our sponsor tonight, as always, is daughtersofisis.com. That's daughtersofisis.com. That's all one word. Go to your laptop or the internet and look up Daughters of Isis. They are the fragrant memories of our ancestors. This is a company that Gwendolyn founded and is head chemistat, or chemistriatrix, if you want. And she has come up with the most amazing recipes for fragrances and mind-expanding, wonderful sort of mind-expanding, soul-expanding, consciousness-expanding, sensual-expanding, sexual-expanding. Are we allowed to say sexual? Oh, I don't care. Anyway, do go there, because Gwendolyn is coming up with more fragrances all the time. She has over 3 trillion ingredients, and you can imagine the combinations and permutations that one can come up with when you have that many different amazing essential oils and materials in nature to mix and match. You know what combinations means. If you don't know what permutations means, write it down on a pad, and then you can private message me, and Mummy will help you with definitions later. Permutations, that's P-E-R-M-U-T-A-I-T-A-T-I-O-N-S. Permutations. Cat lovers, you spell it P-U-R-R-M-U, etc. Actually, cat spelling would be P-U-R-R. Is little Sarah listening tonight? I hope so. P-U-R-R-M-E-W. Do you get it? M-E-W-T-A-T-I-O-N-S. Kitty spelling is completely different, although it's phonetically exactly like English. All right. Speaking of fragrances, Gwendolyn. Gwendolyn, before you tell it, I just want to say, Mummy is in agony. I am in agony. It's January. We're deep in the throes of January. We've got February and probably most of March ahead of us before we see some spring weather. Something's got to give. What do you suggest would be good for people who are just tired, sick and tired of January? What's good?
Well, January is a threshold month. It's, you know, the beginning of a new year, and a lot of people are dealing with endings and beginnings of some kind. And from my Peruvian group, I have the Wormwood Shaman Mist, which is on sale now. And it's a tool for moments of crossing, that between worlds feeling. Nobody really right now feels tied to the here and now because everybody's trying to escape it. It's a between places and people kind of thing. The threshold dissolving assistance comes along with Wormwood Shaman. That was why I created it, for exploring that quality of life, that threshold assistant, for those healers who are out there working with people who, you know, are crossing right now and their ceremony, between people and places and their journey work. People in January are often moving from one job to another, or one season to another in business or their plans. And it invites enlightenment on why we should, in this in-between time, recognize that deeper transformations are possible. It's a real serious kind of a scent. It's clove bud, essential oil mixed with armoise, mugwort, and actual wormwood too, with a nice French lavender. And
I was hoping
rose.
For something pretty in there, because some of those words were extremely offensive. I was thinking, I thought, my goodness, Gwendolyn makes the most wonderful and exotic and extraordinary fragrances. And I thought, oh no, this is our new dog poop line. Oh my God, I'm so glad that in addition to mugwort and whatever the other was, you're doing some lavender and some things. It sounds
some
wonderful.
Some French lavender. And rose attar, which is not auto rose, it's an attar of rose. So it's
right.
Very lightly combined with the lavender. But the point of it is, and then it has that clove bud in there, which sort of grounds it. The wormwood and mugwort are the real special ingredients there, because they allow us to look in between spaces. And right now,
Gwendolyn, wait. You've got to tell people, though, what does wormwood smell like? Because wormwood is the main ingredient in absinthe, the green, you know, liqueur that got such a reputation in 19th century Europe.
Well, this is the essential oil of the green herb. It's an essential oil, not a decanted, extracted.
Right. But what does it smell like? Is it fruity? Is it spicy? Is it smoky? Can you give us a hint?
It's a combination of being a bit fruity for a very green scent. It's grounding and green, but it does have a fruity aspect to it. Whereas the mugwort.
And what about mugwort?
Yeah, mugwort, mother mugwort, is this is Diana's herb, but it's the goddess's herb. This is a very sharp, but not arrogantly sharp, cleansing kind of a scent. It is a sage. Yeah, it is a sage.
Oh.
Armand is a sage. However, it's the, you could call it the Celtic sage. The Celtic smudge is mugwort. And it's burned for its visionary qualities. There it used to be at one time. We still do it around here. Now, mugwort's also very healing. In fact, mugwort essential oil has been used in a lot of different balms and salves to help people, especially women who have problems with, precancerous breast conditions and such. It's wonderful healing herb also. So you have
boys
that
and girls at home, are you I just hope that our listeners are appreciating how wonderfully descriptive you are. I mean, short of getting smell-o-vision on their laptops eventually. I mean, here she's like describing these fragrances of the individual ingredients, and it's wonderful to hear you do the forensics on it. You're doing fragrance forensics, literally.
Well, that's my job. Well, you know, and clove bud, people think they know what clove smells like because they've tasted it so often and such. And you can smell it in potpourries and stuff. But when you get it in a blend like this, it's a quality of smoothness. It brings a smoothness, right. A harmonizing to it all. So that's what we
Wonderful.
Have. We have the Wormwood Shaman Mist. And it's generally $26.95. Right now it's on sale for $21 for 4 ounces of that. It lasts quite a while.
I'll tell you something. We should get you on QVC or HSN because you should. That's wonderful. It sounds terrific. And you and I will talk about this afterwards, after the show tonight, because I want to. I need a Gwendolyn fix. I need something. And I either want it as a roll-on, one of the wonderful roll-ons, or I want it as a mist, or I want it as an injectable, because I've got to. You've got to save Mummy, Gwendolyn. You've got to save Mummy.
I have an associate there in New York who's been, oh my God, he's been one of my bestest friends for close to 30 years now. And he's a counselor there in New York. And he uses this blend, this misting, prior to going to bed because he likes what it does for his dream time.
Oh, that's nice. Okay. Well, in addition to the magnesium and the melatonin that I'm taking to help me get really deeply asleep, I'm going to I'll take your advice on the fragrances that I should use, like spray on my pillow or whatever before I go to bed. So that we definitely do that. Of your fragrances right now, what would you suggest that people use maybe to spray on their sheets before they go to bed to help them really sleep deeply and creatively?
Deeply and creatively? I actually use a blend of a goddess blend of my own for myself, but it's purely a personal thing. But mine is Lakshmi, the goddess Lakshmi. You're familiar, of course, with Lakshmi, right? The goddess
right.
of abundance and healing, and of she's mostly a mother figure. And I'm looking it up because off the top of my head, I only know two of the oils in there, and I want to give you all of them. I use, and I make a mist and a little oil of it, and I work with that for the last couple of years. If I do something with my sheets, I use Lakshmi, and I'm getting there right now so that I can tell you what's in there.
What do you have that's online right now, though? That if somebody were to visit the site tonight and buy something, what would they buy?
Well, they could buy the Lakshmi or the Wormwood Shaman. They're all there under my oils, the goddess. Well, she's wealth and beauty are her biggest attributes. But she's the personification of the Padma. I use... her most sacred plant, which is lotus. So I'm working with a white water lily base. I add vetiver, and there is some blue tansy in there. And mainly, though, it's the overwhelming white water lily, the lotus. In there.
Which is gorgeous. I do want to be careful, though. I don't want people, a novice, to go to the website and purchase something that is highly caffeinated or as energizing as a sleep aid. I don't want to find out that people have like sprayed the wrong thing on their pillows and then they're awake for 18 days or something. It's like they keep spraying it and spraying it and finally burn up in the Earth's atmosphere. Because many of your fragrances are energizing. Many of them are stimulating.
Yeah.
Not all of them are relaxing or calming. So that's why I'm being very specific and trying to make sure that people know that if they're having sleep problems, as many people are right now, that they get a calming fragrance.
Right. You want to go with grounded herbs like patchouli's and roots like vetivers. And there are many of those, many root essential oils you can choose from, and on any one of them. Yeah, go ahead.
Don't you find, Gwendolyn, us being of a certain age, shall we say, that people either of our age either adore patchouli or loathe it. Patchouli is not a neutral or pastel fragrance. People have very specific memories associated with patchouli.
Yes, they do.
To me, it's very 1960s, 70s.
Well, patchouli on its own will either bring you to, I've had people say, oh, it smells like B.O. Or people will say, oh, God, it smells like hippies have invaded. patchouli I never use on its own, but it's on the base of one of my best sellers, which is Dragon's Blood. But I accent and highlight it with many things. And that, you know, depending on the blend you use it in. Patchouli also, you should know, because of the climate change and the soil disruption across the planet, used to be, when I began blending, you could buy a bottle of patchouli, dark aged patchouli, that was like 60s patchouli. Anymore, patchouli is very, it's not as strong as it used to be. And to me, the scent of patchouli is fresh earth, ground, you know, tilling the earth. It should smell, good patchouli should smell like a rich, dark soil. Is what patchouli should smell like. And,
interesting. Very interesting.
It's quite true. I have to goose mine up with a little oak moss because it's not earthy enough anymore. Well, the way I like it. I like it very grounded. But I use, and it blends well with, I have a blend called Bayou St. John that's based in patchouli. And I add some vanilla and some basil and some bay to it, and one or two.
Yes, Gwendolyn? Are you there?
John, it's Sybil.
Are you the
line went dead. We seem to have lost our podcast.
We're back.
Do we have our audience?
We are back on air, but it totally cut us off. Something went kafuzo in the studio.
I'm getting a note right now that says that all this talk about patchouli and reminiscing about the 60s and 70s resulted in the survivors of the Manson family actually yanking the cables out in our studio. Apparently,
oh,
Squeaky Fromm. Yes, Squeaky Fromm is still lurking about. I personally, I wasn't a big Gerald Ford fan, but anyone who attempts the life of the president of the United States like that should be killed. Here she was. She was paroled for a short time and forced to make brownies at an orphanage or something as her punishment. I'm sorry. She was a Manson family member. She should have been thrown into a bonfire. Apparently, she was skulking around near the dining room area or the back kitchen, and she yanked some of the cabling out of our broadcast equipment. Ladies and gentlemen at home, I so apologize. On the other hand, Gwendolyn, as much as I love you, and I love that you were combining patchouli with vanilla and with sage and with everything, I have used patchouli only 3 times in my life, and it was to start a fire in the grill out on the deck. For me, patchouli reminds me of the worst excesses of the hippie era, and I could never wear it. I'm almost sympathetic to Squeaky Chrome.
You're one of them.
Anyway, so we apologize at home. I hope that you didn't give up on us. We had a little glitch there with our studio with Blog Talk Radio. By the way, I want to remind you that Come Now, Don't Sulk, which is live, and is live all around the world. We have listeners right now in Australia. And by the way, I want all of us to send our best wishes and continued love and support and empathy to the residents of Australia, and I'm not talking about just the two-legged residents either. I'm talking about the winged and the four-legged and all the creatures and animals and beings and plant life there. Everything that's alive there, we send our prayers and our just all our love and support to you. Back to what I was saying, we're broadcasting live right now all around the world. And thank you for tuning in. I hope that we didn't lose you just then, but this is part of the Blog Talk Radio Network, and we are very honored to be part of the Here Be Monsters studio, of which Gwendolyn also is the founder. And to remind you again, daughtersofisis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors, is our sponsor. Do go to their site tonight and look up some of the things that Gwendolyn and I were talking about. I cannot recommend their products enough. It instead of getting another piece of clutter for the house or another tchotchke, get an experiential gift for yourself. And especially right now after Christmas, we all know that we didn't get everything we wanted for Christmas or for Hanukkah. Go to daughtersofisis.com and shop for something that might be really fabulous to have on your dressing table or by your bedside. Mummy has a wonderful array of their products. Or in your bath, exactly. Yes.
Remember, during this time, if you take an Epsom salts bath, it'll do a whole lot to ground you and get you through this season.
Yes, that's very true. You know, it's funny. Epsom salts are like I think they register in people's psyches as an old wives' tale, like an old, silly superstitious remedy of some sort. Epsom salts are magnesium, and they are you absorb. A bath is a very medicinal thing. It can feel lovely. It can be wonderful. You light candles. You put on the right music. Do not be fooled. A bath, a hot bath with whatever you put in it, is like a nicotine patch or a testosterone or hormone patch. You are absorbing medicine through your skin. People do not realize that you absorb things through your skin. And so what you do in a bathtub is it can be very, very, very beneficial and very supportive to your health, both physically and emotionally and mentally as well. So take Gwendolyn's advice on that. It's funny because I have a friend, Evelyn, who takes baths all the time. She prides herself on having like 2 or 3 baths a week. And she just shuts everything down, shuts out the world, and takes an hour-long bath. And she does it for therapy, for her own spiritual therapy. Follow Gwendolyn's advice, everybody. An Epsom salt bath could be very important. I wanted to tell everyone about that. I didn't give our phone number out. For those of you that might be tempted to call in, 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. Call in and chat with us. I want to get on one subject that I was hinting at with you before the show, Gwendolyn, and that is that though I am not fragile in any way, having been a New England girl and an Ohio girl and a New York City girl, I have never had the luxury to live in the tropics, for whole sections of my life. I am what Aunt Eller says. I am hardy. But I am also at this stage in my life finding winter in the north exhausting. Like I said earlier, I have never had the luxury of knowing what January in Hawaii would be like. I've been to Hawaii in January. I've been there in October and Christmas time and see and marveled at it, but only on vacation. I have never known what it was like to have fall come to an end, and or I shouldn't use fall, I should say October come to an end, and then turn into November and December, Christmas, January, February, but to be surrounded by palm trees and orchids and and blue water and 80 degree temperatures. I think it must be an amazing circumstance. I, at this point, have experienced all my winters in cold weather. And I admit it readily, I suffer from SAD. I suffer from that seasonal affective disorder where, I try to get out in the sun and I try and do that. And I try to do as many things as I can. I try to be creative. I try to follow my own advice about hobbying and crafting and cooking and visiting friends and building all those bridges. But it is work. It is hard work to bundle up in 40 pounds of winter clothing and, put on my Uggs and trudge out into the cold. Frankly, I wish it was snowier in New York. I actually rejoice when it snows and blizzards, because at least winter has a point of view. For me at this age, the endless grinding winters with no point of view are boring. Who wouldn't want a fireplace and a snowman out in the front yard?
I have to interject here just one little, and when I was living up in New York and it would get like that so dead out, and I was up in the country, honey, a lot of the time, and boy, those drives, all those dead trees, everything's so gray, I get you. But you know what's wonderful, and you can do this, you can purchase at Whole Foods or any place where you can find just plain essential oils. I would recommend my Quantum Shift, but citrus oils, orange or tangerine, or lime, anything citrus, and put a few drops on your handkerchief and put your handkerchief in your pocket and use your handkerchief to smell through the day or whenever you're outdoors, you have to do something outdoors, because it can brighten. It can brighten your aspect.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree. Citrus, and I actually am doing something health-wise. I am on a... first of all, I always love oranges and lemons anyway, and all the others, tangerines, all of the citrus. And I should add to that also tropical fruit in general. I do go shopping, and one of the privileges and lucks of being in New York is to always be able to find kiwi or papaya or guavas, any one of the tropical fruits that, makes you feel nice. Bananas, of course, full of potassium. But I am on a diet right now where I drink the juice of a lime, at least one whole lime a day. And I actually have been doing what the old Italian men did, which I loved this when I was a little girl. I learned that Italian men would do things like eat a lemon as a snack. They would cut open a lemon, peel off the peel, and slice it up and eat a lemon. Actually eat it with a little sprinkle of salt, maybe a little bit of sugar on it, but they would eat a lemon as a refresher, not with a meal necessarily, but just by itself. And lime happens to have even more medicinal and health-giving benefits than a lemon. Limes actually are an amazing thing to lower the acidity of the body. Look it up on Google. It is citric acid you're talking about, but for some reason, limes actually turn the acid. We move the body more towards an alkaline level. It doesn't become alkaline, of course, ever. Our human body is always going to have to be more acidic than alkaline to be alive. But we are mostly too acidic as Americans. We eat foods that produce acid in our bodies. And so limes actually steer us a bit towards a more balanced thing. And I've been doing that, and it has made a huge, huge difference in my health and my skin, a lot of things. So I can't recommend that enough. But Gwendolyn is right. Put some citric fruit odors on your handkerchief. Get the essential oils. Spray them on your sheets if you want to do that, or on your collar of your shirt. It's wonderful to have a citrus smell in the dead of January when it's 20 degrees outside. It does make you feel fresh, and it makes you feel bright, and I hate to say it, but sunny. It makes you feel sunny. Put some orange on your collar, or you know, around your jacket, and then go out in the snow and at night. So you've got the beauty of the snow swirling around street lamps, but you're smelling oranges. It is the most wonderfully absurd contrast of senses. It is brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant how it pushes your psyche in both directions at the same time. Snow swirling around a street lamp, and then you smell this wonderful, bright, comforting smell of oranges, freshly peeled oranges. It's amazing. I can't recommend it enough.
One of the best ways to get it, too, I remember when I was in class, I used to buy tangerines and put them, on my windowsill, and they would get quite cold, but they were very refreshing. And when you peel the tangerine, the essential oil in the skin just sort of fills the air around you. It's a really wonderful
smell. Well, and if you save the peels of those things, and if you save the peels of them and you don't feel like candying them, which is something that I love doing, I love taking peels of lemon and orange and doing a candying recipe where you sugar them, you boil them and sugar them and make them into strips of candy, which is delicious. And except for the sugar, it's very healthy. I mean, it's not a cholesterol bringing treat, but look that up on Google too, how to candy orange peel, lemon peel. It's very easy. It's fun. It's a nice Saturday afternoon activity. But if you take those peels of the fruit you've eaten, and you dry them and you chop them up and you put them in potpourri. That's what those potpourris are. They're mixes of cinnamon sticks and cloves and orange peels and tangerine peels and everything.
Star anise.
I'm sorry, what?
Star anise, too. Star anise.
Yes, exactly. I used to have a it was hard work, but I used to take an orange starting in October, November. I would take an orange. I would take like a narrow knitting needle and I would prick the peel very tight, very close to, and push cloves into it. Of course, your fingers would get sore from pushing the cloves in, but you cover an orange completely with cloves and you let it shrink and dry. It preserves it. And it becomes very, very fossilized almost. And the smell of that orange and that clove, you could also spring cinnamon on it. I used to carry one of those in one of my winter jackets on the inside pocket. And when I would go walking, my jacket would smell like Christmas. It would smell like oranges and cloves and cinnamon. And I would be smelling that coming up. You know, it was almost like putting Vicks Vapor Rub on your chest during a cold. Well, I was bundled up in a winter jacket with one of those pomanders, those, you know, and it would be inside my jacket. My body warmth would make it, you know, would activate it. And I'd be walking through the streets of New York at night with the snow falling and smell that. I'm telling you, there were nights when it brought me to tears because it would be like what I would fantasize heaven would be like after dying. It was so wonderful. So folks, back to daughtersofisis.com. Do look up their products. Do listen to Gwendolyn's advice and investigate using, you know, fragrances to help you through this blue time. I want to just remind you that the phone number is 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. I got off on a tangent, as I always do with Gwendolyn, because I love her so much. You can find Mummy on Facebook Twitter, Instagram, all of the, you can find her on her own YouTube channel. All my Tourette's are posted there. You can find her also on her website, SybilSays.com and SybilBrunchen.com. SybilSays.com is SybilSez.com. Do investigate that and use your cursor. Boys and girls at home, old, boring ladies and men who are too, you know, senile to learn anything new. There, I've addressed it properly. Your cursor, that little arrow that you have on your pad or your mouse, you scroll it around, and when you go to SybilSays.com or SybilBrunchen.com, click on different words there. You'll see different sites come up. My wonderful friends, Yuri Kushner and Steve Buscher, have created these websites, and they have wondrous things to look at and read and see and listen to if you will just be curious. I think the biggest problem we have right now in the world is a lack of curiosity, both by the young and the old. We've had two presidents brag about not being curious. George Bush and Donald Trump pride themselves on not being curious. They've said things like, yeah, I'm not that interested. No, I'm not really a reader. No, I've already made up my mind. You know, Mitch McConnell has had an appointment with a pitchfork and a bonfire for years. He is the least curious person in the world into the bonfire. You people at home, go to those websites, go to Facebook, move your cursor around and click on different things and see what comes up. Apropos of which, one of the pages that I'm very proud of is the Sybil Brunchen Lollipop Guild page, which is for happy, delightful things. We have no, as political as I am, as angry as I am, as, you know, I'm like Katie in The Way We Were. I am, nobody is more obnoxious about their opinions than me politically. But I created a space for people to go where there is no controversy. We don't have ugly things there. We don't have news there that's unpleasant or sad. It's only a place for recipes and gifts of kitties playing with, you know, a mouse, you know, a catnip mouse, or people posting pictures of them as children, or poems. People post the most lovely things on Sybil Brunchen's Sybil Brunchen Lollipop Guild. I'm going to go there right now because I want to just tell people, I people do not go there. So I'm going to drag you there tonight. Fiorella LaGuardia used to read the comics to children on Sundays. He would read the Sunday comics to people, to children on the radio. So I am going to tell you right now that on the Lollipop Guild page, we have a bunch of things. I'm scrolling down. Vance Marker posted something about a fashion show that's hysterical, where they're showing grungy clothes for fashion. Faith Nelson posted a great performances thing from PBS, a play based on Ann Richards, the governor of Texas, and people have posted comments there. I've posted a thing
wonderful
called
play.
Game Time. I posted Game Time, and it says 1 year ago today, George Sweet posted this painting by Evgeny Lushpin. It looks like a painting, a photograph of a Paris rooftop, a beautiful little house on top of a building. It looks like a cottage at night, at dusk, and there's Paris in the background. And I said, you know what? Let's make a game of this. I promised everyone that I would write a new George Sweet doorway mystery to this photograph, and there's a door there. And I have this thing that I've been doing for years with my friend George Sweet. He posts wonderful photographs sometimes of these brilliant doorways around Europe, Art Nouveau ones, Art Deco ones, everything you can imagine, but a doorway, just beautiful doorways. And I came up with the idea of writing a mystery for each one. So the doorway is the image, and then you have this wonderful little mini mystery to read. Well, I decided tonight, year after he posted this beautiful picture, and you can find it right there on the Lollipop Guild, I said, game time. It's time for all of you Facebook people to help me write a murder mystery, or a mystery, not a murder mystery, just whatever. And I said, submit one fabulous opening sentence for the photograph below, and I'll write the story. Ready? go. And people people have written the funniest, silliest sentences. Just hysterical. So there's a Game Time there. There's a thing on Gustav Klimt. There is there's all sorts of cute, wonderful. There's an article here on Meet the Man Who Dressed Dolly Parton. This is a costume designer who's been working with her for decades. There is a thing about American Gothic, the painting by Grant Wood, and it's been it's been electronically altered so that it becomes all sorts of hippies and everything. Here's a video of a 40-ton whale jumping completely out of the water and flying through the air, and how whales enjoy. It's an article that says how whales enjoy romping and playing, how wonderfully animated they are, even though they're gigantic animals. Here is a drop dead coat from 1955 that is in the Metropolitan Museum's collection of costumes and fashion, designed by Norman Norell. That was posted by who was posted that? I'll find it. It just skipped by. We have people that post their own hobbies. Oh, Mary Jane Nilsson posted that. We have people that post fashion and jewelry things that are wonderful. So I want you, if you're feeling blue or bored or sullen or something, there's stuff out there. There's even stuff on Facebook. By the way, as much as we all hate Jeffrey Zuckerberg's guts, and I think he should be tried as a criminal, the bottom line is that he has left behind a tool, Facebook, which can be used for good or for ill. Was it used for ill in the elections? Yeah, probably. But it doesn't mean that it can't be used for good things, like people connecting to other people and finding joy. You don't go to your toolbox, you know, under your kitchen sink, pull it out and throw the screwdriver and the hammer away because one day when you were hanging a picture, you happened to have pounded your finger. You don't, the hammer didn't do it, right? You had an accident with a hammer, but the hammer can also be used for good things. You can hang a picture. You don't have to pick up the hammer and bash your brains out with it. You don't take a hammer and start hitting yourself in the forehead. Well, you don't have to take Facebook and start hitting yourself in the forehead. Use it as a tool to connect to things and people that you love. Find the world through the internet. It's one of the few benefits that our technology has for us. Our technology could destroy us, but it could also save us. Use Facebook for that. If you haven't joined the Sybil Brunson's Lollipop Guild yet on Facebook, just enter it in the search window, click on there, and then join. It says join. Believe me, we won't know where you live. We won't have access to your phone number or your address. No, the little dot in the middle of your laptop will not suddenly film you naked in the bathroom. There's this weird prejudice against technology that people get all paranoid. You know, it's up to you to use your technology properly, not us and not Facebook. You know, don't post naked pictures of yourself on Facebook and you won't get in trouble. It's as simple as that, any more than your cell phone is spying on you. Okay, so back to that. That gave you a little bit of an idea of what's going on the Sybil Brunson Lollipop Guild. And I want to really reiterate that tomorrow is yet another day with this, you know, the Senate here. Well, now, yeah, it's the Senate hearings and the trial moving forward. No one can figure out what this is going to do. We all have opinions. Some of us are very sanguine about the whole thing. Some of us are really hopeful and positive. And some of us feel that the whole thing is going to collapse in a disaster, a remake of the Hindenburg over Lakehurst. We don't know. But one thing we can do together on Facebook is to encourage each other to register and vote, which Mummy does all the time, and encourage you to encourage your friends to register and vote. And this election is 100 times more important than the last one was, and that last election was 100 times more important than the one before it, even though that's the one that brought Trump in. We, in 2016, we really did make some changes, or 2018, we made some changes, and we've got to do it again in 2020. So 2020 is our goal, and encourage each other on Facebook. And if you don't think you know about the issues, tune into Facebook. You know, start reading, start looking, start checking into those links. And check into the links that are obnoxious. Check into the links that are the enemy, so to speak. Mummy watches Fox TV every day. Every day. Why? Because I think it's important that we know what the enemy is saying. How can you speak intelligently or vote intelligently if you don't actually know what they are saying and doing on the other side? It would be like Winston Churchill and Franklin Roosevelt trying to fight World War II, not knowing what was going on in Hitler's Germany. They did anything and everything they could to find out what was happening in Germany and Japan during the war. They didn't plug their ears and say, oh, I don't like to think about bad things. Oh, I don't like to hear bad talk. Well, his voice is grating. I don't want to watch him. Well, he's ugly, and I don't want to know about that. No, no. Take a breath, pinch your nose if you have to, and dive in and watch what they're saying so we know exactly what we're dealing with. So that's another thing you can do on Facebook. You can actually go to those sites and check them out and read and see what's posted. Look at what they say. Know what the adversary is coming up with. You know, some of you already have your adversary at your Thanksgiving Day table. Cousin Albert already pontificated about everything. You already found out exactly how he felt over the sweet potatoes with marshmallows. You know, but it's important that we all stay hyper informed. We must stay informed. It's not our favorite hobby. Gwendolyn and I are old enough to remember when an average day, listen to this, an average day, you would not even think about the president or what was going on in the government. There was a time when people simply trusted enough that things were being handled properly, and you didn't think about what perfect example. You went to the post office, you mailed the letter, you bought a stamp and you mailed the letter. The nice lady behind the window gave you your change. You left, you went to lunch with Betty Lou and your girlfriends. You didn't spend the lunch thinking about the nice lady behind the window who sold you the stamp and wondering if she was beating her children, getting a divorce, was a kleptomaniac after work, was, suffering from cancer. You didn't think about those things, okay? When you went to your doctor and you had your appointment and you got a checkup and everything was perfect and you said goodbye, nice Dr. Chalmers, and you left the office, 2 days later, you weren't thinking about Dr. Chalmers and wringing your hands going, I wonder if Dr. Chalmers is secretly a drunk and doesn't really know whether or not I'm well. I wonder if he's beating his wife or his children. I wonder if he's having an affair. I wonder if he's gay. I wonder if he's a thief. I wonder if he's a murderer. How many patients has he lost through carelessness? You don't think of those things. Well, believe it or not, people my age remember a time when we didn't wring our hands all day, every day, over what could be happening in the government. People had bills to pay. They had weddings to go to. They had dinner parties to plan. They had cocktails to mix with friends. They had their favorite TV show was coming on. It's almost inconceivable to people like Gwendolyn and me and people our age, well, people who are alert. I'm sorry to say this, but there are a lot of people my age who are idiots. You know, they're living like Sally Bowles in Cabaret. They're 75 and they're still dancing around in a flapper dress, doing the Charleston and plugging their ears going, oh, Cliff, I don't want to think bad thoughts. And those are the men, by the way, that are doing that. There are people going around, oh, I met a perfectly marvelous man. No, there are people my age who are idiots and they should be gotten rid of. But there are people like Gwendolyn and me who do remember and do acknowledge that there was a time when we did not wring our hands over what the entire Senate, the White House, we did not think of these things. We did not let this ruin and wreck and monopolize our lives. It is an inconceivable experience at the end of the 20th century and especially the beginning of the 21st century that we are living this way. So, and if my parents were alive, well, my parents were part of the problem. My parents were, you know, diehard Republicans, and it was only as they were dying that they realized that George Bush and Ronald Reagan might have been a mistake. You know, my parents didn't live to see George Bush the younger. So it's true. My mother is dead, but I did have to kill her. That's another story for another time. But the bottom line is this. I want you people to start to figure out, as Mummy is and as Gwendolyn is, how to rage against the dying of the light. You know, old age was meant to burn and rage against the dying of the light. You have to be hardy. You have to really, and if you can't do it yourself, like I was having trouble today, you call up a friend like Gwendolyn. And before we do the show, you know, we were laughing and talking, and then we got ready to do the show. And she, God bless her, she slapped me right in the face with, "You got to be hardy." I wanted to punch the shit out of her. I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. Children at home, Mummy said a bad word. I should have said I wanted to punch the poo-poo out of her. But when she said it,
I know
it was,
the feeling.
It was instantly true. It was instantly true. I got to be hardy. She said, "Sybil, you've got to be hardy." And it was like, duh, you think? Yes, you're absolutely right. I had a slip up there, and I have to be hardy. I have to get back in the swing of things. I went to the kitchen and I made turkey meatballs and my tomato sauce. I did some needlepoint. I've been doing writing. I came up with this game idea tonight. And you know why I came up with the game idea? Because of you, my listeners. You, I decided, you know what? Why am I sitting here, you know, a bitchy old person, cranky and sad? I'm going to invite all of those 5,000 friends and another 10,000 followers to join me in a silly game. Look at a picture, write a sentence that's the opening line. And so I'm going to write a story. I've actually been posting little one-liners after everybody's one-liners. So if you post a one-liner, I'm going to try and give you a one-liner back. But I am going to select one and write a story because the photograph of that painting is gorgeous. And so if you see it, you'll see it on any one of my pages. Anyway, we're running out of time. We don't have any calls, and I don't understand that. I certainly wanted to hear from people tonight about what they are doing to chase away the blues when the sun sets at 4 in the afternoon. It's like, Gwendolyn, what do you do? Because you're doing something for a living, although it's hard work and everything, and it's your own business, so it's got its own challenges. I know that you're creative at the work table, but do you do anything other than the fragrances? Do you go for walks? What is it you do to chase away the blues?
Well, I look for flowers, and we have so many small animals that I have fun just sitting and trying to talk to the animals out there. And
I fed my birds today. That's what I did. I fed my birds today at Strauss Park. Yeah.
And I'm writing a book. So I'm bad disciplined at that. I promised myself this year that every day I would get at least 2 hours and hopefully at least 700 decent words down. And
good for you.
It's a challenge. And because I'm at the bench quite a bit, not only am I filling orders, but I get calls from people wanting to know this or that or with issues. So one of my great things, my chill out, wind down, allow it to happen. And because I'm empathic and I have to remain very grounded from that with much of what I do with folks, in the evening, I go in and I'm a Turner Classic Movie fan, or
me too,
I will go over to Disney and watch the Marvel movies because I like the idea of heroes that vanquish the bad lately. And
right.
I feel those emotions. I let my emotions come out with the emotions being revealed from reel to reel. And did I just say reel to reel? Oh my God. Yeah, I guess we're dated. And I allow that to take me away. It's pure escapism. If there's nothing on or I don't feel like checking movies for, you know, 20 minutes, I read. I read. I always have Leaves of Grass on my nightstand. And instead of doing research reading, I will read a good mystery.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I want to just mention something. I love that you brought up reading. Many people, myself included, have shelves of books. And we love books, and we love what they symbolize. We love what they mean. Only idiots use books as decorative items. Only idiots decorate their apartments by buying expensive books and never reading them and never opening them. I have a couple of friends who over the years have come up with a wonderful thing for the winter. And I forgot to mention it a few weeks ago when I was saying come up with winter solutions like cleaning out a closet, doing your kitchen cabinets, doing fall cleaning instead of spring cleaning. Fall cleaning is a much healthier and better thing to do. You're shut inside all winter. Why not make your apartment spectacular? Why would you do it in spring when you're going to be outside all the time? You don't need to do spring cleaning. You know, it's like, you know, you're not going to be home anyway. Do it for the fall when you're going to have to live with that. And you can live with a brand new home. Well, these different friends of mine came up with an idea, which was, in addition to different things like taking up a hobby, making a regular weekly date with friends for dinners or cocktails, they said, go to your bookcase, and take down a book, any book, and read it. Revisit a book that was a friend, or read a book that you always intended to read and never did read. Even if it's a coffee table book that's full of pictures, savor that book. Open up the book on fashion.
Some of those are the best. Some of those coffee books, those pictures, those photography books that depict art. I will pick up my George O'Keefe every now and then to be exposed to all of that art, or Margaret Burke White's life photography, or all the rave photography that has come in and out of New York at certain periods of time. And I forget the book, but I only got it a few years ago. It was very expensive, but it's beautiful, and it re-exposes me to
I'm looking at books right now. I'm looking at one particular cube of books. One of them is called The Ziegfeld Touch. It's all about the history of Florence Ziegfeld's theaters, his film, his costumes, the stories about his life. The next book over is New York in the 1880s. Photographs and articles all about what New York was like in the 1880s. The next one over is Magnolia, the cookbook of Magnolia Bakery. The next one is historic costumes from 1000 AD up to the 1950s. The next one is Steve Reeves, Worlds to Conquer, photography of muscle men from the 1950s. The next one over is Balenciaga, the designer Balenciaga. Excellent. That's just an idea of the books that you can have. Those are jumbled. They have to go back into the right cubicles, the art and the fashion, everything. But that gives you an idea of go to your shelves and look at your books. Just on a rainy afternoon, you don't feel like cleaning, you don't feel like cooking, you don't feel like going out, get a book and look at it. I'm looking at the time. We're out of time. I want to remind you all that we're here Monday, every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or your corresponding time zone. We have viewers and listeners from all over the world, and we look forward to hearing from you next week. Gwendolyn Holdenberry is my producer, and DaughtersOfIsis.com is our sponsor. Do check them out, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. We will be here again on Blog Talk Radio next Monday, as we are every Monday. We look forward to hearing from you, and call in next week and tell us what progress you're making on how to make this winter a wonderful one. Gwendolyn, I love you a gazillion. I'm going to sign off. Good night, everybody. Have a great week until next Monday. Love you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.